Welcome to the Fiscal Physical Podcast. Join us each week as we sit down with the founder of Alchemy Wealth Management and author of Your Fiscal Physical, Ryan Nelson. Tune in to gain valuable insights and practical tips as we simplify complex financial concepts into digestible lessons. From budgeting to retirement planning, this podcast is your go-to resource for mastering financial literacy.
Welcome to all the listeners to this week's episode of the Fiscal Physical Podcast. Hopefully you have tuned into our past episodes here and you have gained some financial literacy. That's what myself, Aaron Hoisington, and along with the founder of Alchemy Wealth Management, Ryan Nelson, mainly Ryan in this case, are trying to impart this wisdom onto the listeners. And I'm pretty excited for this week's episode, and as I am with everyone, to be honest. Like, I'm a pretty excitable guy. And finances just kind of get me going now that I have my financial Sherpa, Ryan Nelson, here. Ryan, how are you?
Doing well. Doing well. How are you doing today?
I am doing pretty solid, I would say. I don't know. Has anyone ever called you a financial Sherpa?
God, I've used that term somewhere here very recently. I can't remember what context. I use it in the book.
I can't remember. It might be in your book, Your Fiscal Physical, Seven Keys to Becoming Financially Fit, which I actually have right next to me. I'll search, but I think that might be where I actually saw that and kind of just equated it to you.
Now that you're saying that, I'm almost positive I did include it in there because, you know, we mentioned, I think in a previous episode, I had some people beta read.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm almost positive one of my friends, Jen, called that part out and said, like, I like this verbiage. And because when we do like these Ironman races and stuff, you call the person who's not racing, who's like kind of just like they're supporting the race, everybody refers to them as the Sherpas. So it's kind of like a common like term in that little friend group. And so, yeah, I think it was in the book. And
I think that's what resonated with me is a financial Sherpa. It's a cool term. It's a fun word to say as well.
Absolutely.
Too. So awesome, Ryan. Well, this week I am super excited because we have a listener question that somebody sent in.
Perfect.
This is the third one that we've actually had from our listeners, and we really appreciate it. If you guys have questions that you want to bring up, send them to podcast@alchemywealth.com, or just text Ryan or myself, and we can make sure we get them on here. But this one comes from Adriana in regards to some 401k questions. So we're going to go ahead and pause, let you listen to the question. We'll be back on the other side to break it down.
Hey, Ryan. Super excited about the podcast. It's been super informative so far. So I wanted to submit a question and see if you can help me out. I recently stepped away from my previous employer, and I realized as I was leaving that I didn't know what would happen with my 401k. So I'm not sure. Do I have options? Do I leave it where it is? I'm not really sure what the next step should be and what I should do with my retirement fund that I had built up while I was employed with that company. Can you help out? Thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you so much, Adriana, for that question here. A lot to unpack with that one, Ryan. And I feel like it's a very applicable question to, I guess, today's job market, today's economy. There's been a lot of, turnover or layoffs with certain jobs. And so I feel like this is something that, I mean, when you get laid off, that's not immediately what goes to your mind is, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with my 401k? But it's a pretty important piece of it, I would say.
Absolutely. Excited to kind of take a stab at this and educate Adriana on the different options. I know I've said this probably 100 times already through these different episodes, but of course I won't be able to give Adriana any financial advice on this platform. So I don't know that I'll directly be able to help her out, but certainly happy to help educate her on different options. Once you leave an employer, right, for whatever reason, whether that's retirement, getting laid off, taking a job with a new employer, right, for whatever reason, once you're no longer employed by your now previous employer, you have an opportunity, right? You have this now what we would refer to as old 401k, and you have some options. So let's walk through what those options are. So generally, you have four options with an old 401k. So option number one, and I'll preface this by saying none of these four options are necessarily good or necessarily bad. They're all just different options, and they are all have different pros, all have different cons. So different people at different stages in their life might resonate with one of these. And even later on in life, you might resonate with another one. And you know, it would be completely reasonable. These aren't like good or bad. They're just different. So the first option is cashing out the plan. Mm-hmm. So you could just cash out the entire plan. Now, if you cash it out and you're not 59 and a half, you're going to pay a 10% penalty. So if you have it in a what we refer to as like a traditional 401k, this is a pool of money you've not paid taxes on. Mm-hmm. And so you would have to pay your taxes, your normal taxes that you would owe, plus a 10% penalty. So if you're a younger person, not quite at retirement, you're just transitioning jobs and you don't need the money, this may not be a great tool for you. You'd pay a 10% penalty on all your money, plus all the taxes. It is what it is, but you would have nonetheless, you'd have the option, option number one, to cash out your funds, mm-hmm. pay all the appropriate taxes and penalties if necessary.
Okay.
So that's option number one. Option number two is you could just leave it where it's at. So the you've built this money in this 401k, you could just leave it in the current 401k, the old employer's 401k. Now, there are some exceptions where the 401k plan documents won't allow this. So very often, the number I see most common is about $5,000. So a lot of plans, some plans won't say this at all. They'll just let you, no matter what account balance you have, they'll let you stay there. Other plans will say, if you have an account balance of less than $5,000, they're going to basically force you out of the plan and basically say, hey, take one of these other three options. Mm-hmm. And if you don't take one of these three options, we're basically going to take one of the options for you. And that option they take for you is rolling it into an IRA. So that'll be the next option we talk about. A common option for most people is leave it where it's at. If your employer and the plan documents allow it, you can just leave the plan exactly where it's at. You could still log into that old 401k provider, change investments, do whatever you mm-hmm. want. You wouldn't be able to add more money to it, but you could leave it where it's at and let it stay invested.
Gotcha. And in that case, it's pretty self-explanatory, but I'm going to ask it anyway. In that case, the employer, because a lot of times you get 401k matches,
yep.
they wouldn't be matching anything because you're not putting any more money exactly. into it.
Yep. Like,
okay.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So yeah, the employer, you would no longer, since you're no longer compensated by that employee or that employer, they would no longer be putting any money in on your behalf.
Okay.
Yep. Good question. So the next option, option number three, is you could roll this 401k out into an IRA. So that's an individual retirement.
Not account, but it's similar to an account. Oh my gosh.
Arrangement.
Oh yep. my gosh. I was so excited. I said I was going to commit that to memory. Didn't.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's great. Hey, you knew it wasn't an account. But so IRA, individual retirement arrangement. But for all practical purposes, everybody calls them individual retirement accounts. So that's how I'll call it too for the rest of this conversation. But so you could take that 401k and roll it into an IRA in your name. And so in your 401k, you may have different funds. You may have traditional 401k and Roth 401k. So if you were to roll that out, you would need to move it from like account to like account. So you'd need to open a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA and then move the appropriate funds into both account balances. But so that'd be option number three. And then option number four is you could potentially move it from the old 401k into a new 401k. So if you're just transitioning jobs and you get a new job with a new employer and they offer a 401k, you could consolidate your old 401k into your new 401k. So that would be a feasible option as well. Mm-hmm. So let's just run through these four options again real quick. So number one, you cash it out, you pay the taxes, potentially pay penalties if you're underage. That is the option I see done the least often. It's typically... Certainly for somebody underage, you probably don't want to be paying a penalty.
Sure.
Right?
Definitely.
So that's the least exercised option. Option number two, just leave it where it's at in the old 401k. Not a lot of people like doing this. And again, sometimes people are forced out of their old 401k, mm-hmm. Especially for lower account balances. So the two options we see executed most common is consolidating the funds either into an IRA in your name or into your new 401k. And so we can talk a little bit about the pros and cons of each. By moving it into your new 401k, like if you're in this situation and you're trying to decide, you're like, okay, Ryan, yeah, I'm not going to leave it with the old employer. I'm not going to cash it out and pay penalties. So I'm really going to roll it into an IRA. Mm-hmm. or move it into my new 401k, right. Which, you know, how do I make that decision, right? One consideration would be, is your new employer going to cover any of the 401k fees? So it's theoretically possible for the new employer to say, hey, I want to pay for like all the 401k fees, right? That's extremely rare,
right?
Yeah. But it is possible. The reality is most employees wouldn't even know that's happening. And so like if you put yourself in the employer's shoes, that's probably not the best use of their funds. Like they'd probably just be better off like paying their employees more. Like that, mm-hmm. that'd be help them retain probably employees. It's easier for an employee to conceptualize, oh, I got a dollar an hour raise as opposed to my employees paying my 401k fees. What? I don't even see those.
Sure.
Like, yeah, you're right. So there's not a lot of perceived value. Even if there is actual value, there's not a lot of perceived value. Mm-hmm. And so most employers won't cover those fees because it's going to cost more than it's sort of worth to the employee.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even though that shouldn't be the case. That is the perception, right? And so most employers aren't going to cover those 401k fees, but it would be to do your due diligence. You'd want to see, okay, is my new employer, are they going to be covering fees? If not, what are my fees in my new account? And what would my fees be if I moved this over to an IRA, right? And then you could have an informed decision and compare fees. One of the things in a 401k is you have a very limited investment option. So most 401ks are going to give you about, you know, 30, maybe 40 at the most different investment options to pick from. And so you're having to build your portfolio from that list of 30 or 40 investment options. Mm-hmm. If you move your funds to an IRA, you can invest in anything you want and you have complete control over your assets. So you could put it with any financial advisor you want, with any custodian you want, invest in any ETF you want, invest in any mutual fund you want, invest in any stock or bond you want. So you have a lot more flexibility in the IRA than you do in a 401k. And so what I see a lot is people say, yeah, I don't really want the money in the company's name because you don't have all that control in when it's in the company. The company could theoretically, you know, if you move your old 401k to new 401k, and maybe that new 401k is at Fidelity, and you're like, man, I like these Fidelity investments. This is awesome. Like, I love how this 401k is set up, right? And then the business decides, hey, we're going to move our 401k from Fidelity to Vanguard. And you say, whoa, I moved all my funds over here because I liked Fidelity. Yeah. Like, I really like this. You don't have a say. It's the business's decision where to move those funds, right? You're not in complete control of the assets. The business is in control of that 401k. So you just have to realize if you either leave your money in your old 401k or roll it into a new 401k, either way, you're giving up some of that like flexibility and control and you're giving it to your business. And that could be worth it. Again, if your business is paying some of your fees or you get like reduced fees for doing this, heck yeah, you could say, absolutely. I'm happy to invest in whatever you'll let me do.
Sure.
At these lower costs, right? So that could be a great selling point for you. Or you might just say, no, you know, I really want complete control over this. Like, let's move it out to an IRA. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you were, again, some examples of that control, if you were to roll it out into an IRA, let's say it was a traditional IRA, you roll it out to a traditional IRA. Now you could start doing things like Roth conversions.
Yeah.
So if you had this pool of money built up in traditional and you're like, gosh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I'm becoming more educated. I wish I would have put my money in Roth. Well, this would be an opportunity where you could roll these funds out to a traditional IRA, start doing Roth conversions and getting the money over to Roth, right? So that would be a potential tool. Or though, a little devil's advocate to that is maybe you're getting more educated. You've listened to some of these podcasts and you're like, no, Ryan, I want to do a backdoor Roth conversion.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Now we're talking.
So you just start making backdoor Roth contributions. In a previous episode, we talked about how that's hard to do if you have traditional IRA assets. So you might say, I want to intentionally avoid having traditional IRA assets so I don't run into that pro rata rule. So I'm going to, instead of rolling it out to an IRA, I'm just going to consolidate with my 401k. So now I don't have an IRA. And now I can do backdoor Roth, right?
Yeah.
So this could be two different people, both solving for the same thing, wanting to increase their Roth contributions, and two different people tackle that two different ways. One could say, I'm going to roll this out to traditional IRA so that then I can convert that. The other could say, I'm not going to roll it to a traditional IRA. I'm going to roll it to my new 401k so I can start doing backdoor Roth contributions. So either way, that'd be two different kind of ways to skin a cat. Both are trying to solve for more Roth contributions or more Roth assets, and they're approaching it different ways. And depending on what their income levels are and what their current tax bracket is and how much assets they have both in traditional and Roth, those decisions, you know, mm-hmm. one could be a right solution for one person. Another option could be a right solution for another person. So again, as with everything, I think every single episode we've probably had, it's not always that black and white. It's not just like there's a right answer and a wrong answer. There's four different solutions for you. Mm-hmm. All four offer different pros and different cons. again, the two options I see executed most often are consolidating it into an IRA or consolidating it into the new employer's plan.
Yeah. No, the listeners can't really see how I am. I am buzzing right now that there are so many different options. Because a lot, right. I think about, you know, I've been with my employer for almost 10 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't thought about like, oh, what happens if I do leave? But to have the options that are available.
Right.
Like, I had no idea. Like, I knew that you could leave it. Normally, you could leave it or you could cash it out. Those are the only two, honestly, I came into this conversation with even really having an idea about.
Sure.
But knowing like, hey, cool, like meeting with your financial advisor, if you're going to manage your own money, find out what works best.
Right.
To know that there are multiple different options that to kind of make your money work and make it go where you need it to go in that case is super cool.
Absolutely.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of different kind of high level strategy that you could be taking, right? And so none of those are right. None of those are wrong, but it would be strategies you'd want to be considering. Like, you know, you want to at least think through those decisions and, you know, execute a strategy that you believe will be best for your long-term success.
Yeah, no, that is phenomenally put. And hopefully that helps out a little bit, Adriana. Like Ryan said, you know, this isn't financial advice specifically for you, but just to know that you have options available, I think, and definitely meet with your financial advisor, find out what works best for you and what your situation is. And really appreciate you sending in the question without a doubt. And
absolutely.
We highly recommend that, you know, more listeners send those in, because I feel like that's great to be able to hear real life questions.
Absolutely.
And kind of apply them to different episodes as well.
Yeah. Those are always really fun. I think it's fun to hear what questions people have. And these are, you know, as you and I think of questions to discuss on the podcast, like, we have a certain like slant and like, you know, I have like an understanding of like the industry and stuff. So but like these questions that come from the listeners themselves, these are like the questions that are probably most resonating with everybody else, right?
Yeah.
So it's always fun to get those questions.
Definitely. No, we really appreciate it. And thank you everybody who's been tuning into the episodes here. We'll, you know, continue to bring you this content, and hopefully you can take, you know, from it what you will. Hopefully you get a little bit more financially fit. I know I have throughout this podcast here. And thank you, Ryan, for breaking everything down in the way you do. And I'll let you say goodbye to the listeners here.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate the help. Adriana, thanks for the question. Like Aaron said, if anybody else wants to submit one, you can send those to podcast@alchemywealth.com. And other than that, stay the course.
Thank you for joining us for the Fiscal Physical Podcast. Until next time, happy listening. And as always, stay the course. If you have a question or topic suggestions, please email us at podcast@alchemywealth.com. If you enjoyed today's discussion, subscribe to the podcast to ensure you never miss an episode. And consider leaving us a rating and review on your favorite platform. This helps other listeners like you find the show. For more resources, you can visit Alchemy Wealth Management's website at www.alchemywealth.com or find your physical, the book on Amazon. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention that personal finance is just that, personal. Please don't take anything we say as advice. The preceding content is for informational and entertainment purposes only. It's not an offer or a solicitation, nor should it be construed or relied upon for tax, legal, or investment advice. It doesn't consider your personal financial situation or objectives and may not be suitable for you.